Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Well, good morning. It's been a good day already. And we had a great first service with a great crowd, and this is a great crowd as well, so we're so thrilled about you being here with us. We're starting a brand new series today called Secrets. Sounds a little mysterious when you say it like that, but we're going to be looking at four secrets of the faith over the next few weeks. I encourage you to engage with us. Several different ways you can do that. If you've got a smartphone, you can use your Bible app. If you've got YouVersion, just look for Live on the side there for a live event. Do search for a live event. You can find our live event on there, and it's going to have all the scriptures we're going to use today. Some of the quotes that I'm going to be using today are in there as well, so you can kind of, like if you're like me, I like to kind of read things. I can't always just hear big, long quotes like that. I kind of need to read them myself, so we've put them in there for you. So that's one way to follow along today, so we can kind of just encourage you to engage however you would like. We've got a bulletin insert for you to take some notes the old-fashioned way with a pencil or a pen. You may do that as well, but we just want to encourage you to engage with us today. We're going to be looking at four different secrets of the faith. And today's secret, I think every marketing firm is trying to capture this one. I really believe every fast food children's meal promises that it's on the inside. In my opinion, every car company wants to believe that they hold the keys to this secret. Every new relationship holds the promise of finding this one. In fact, nearly every religion in the world believes that it's the one source of it. We're going to be talking today about the secret to happiness. The secret to happiness. And the reality is that while the world is spending billions and billions of dollars pursuing happiness, very few people have truly found it. And we keep searching for it. We keep throwing money at it. We keep doing all these things, but very few people have truly found happiness. It doesn't stop us, though, from trying to tell our children just how easy it is to capture. One of my favorite children's stories, Captain Hook. You know, when Peter Pan and Captain Hook are fighting, what does Peter Pan need but just a little bit of pixie dust and what? A happy thought. You guys need to look at your children's stories again. One happy thought with some pixie dust and you can fly, fly, fly. Well, Peter Pan's not alone in trying to teach our children about happy thoughts. Watch this.
Think of happy thoughts instead.
Does that really work?
Yeah, because if you fill your head with happy thoughts, then there's no room in there for any scary thoughts.
Yeah? What kind of happy thoughts?
Oh, you can imagine anything that makes you happy, right?
Going through the park and swinging on a swing, pretending that you're a queen or a king, sharing good times with people you know. These are happy thoughts to Oma.
I think I know what you mean.
Oh, like flying high, looking like a cloud, telling silly jokes, not laughing out loud, wishing on a big bright star that twinkled, eating ice cream with rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah,
that is got the idea. Those are all
happy thoughts. Keep thinking happy thoughts. Just think some happy thoughts and put them in your head. Think some happy thoughts when it's time to go to bed. Remember this, cause it's really true. All the things you think are up to you.
Oh, you know what really makes me happy?
Seeing our doggy wearing people clothes. Getting our present wrapped with ribbons and bells. Playing with a friend and running races.
Yeah.
Or just sitting around.
I'm really sorry you can't take that minute 40 of your life back. That thought just crossed my mind. I just wasted a minute and 40 seconds of these people's time. Is Tickle Me Elmo the secret to happiness? This is my question. Is it really as simple as he and his legion of toddlers would like us to believe? I think most of us would say, if we've tried to do this, just think about happy thoughts and ignore the bad thoughts. It might work for a moment, but it is never a lasting expression of finding happiness. As we begin this pursuit of trying to discover this, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about your happiest moment in your life. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about your happy thought, your happy moment? I want you to write it down on that insert, or I want you to put it right on the forefront of your mind, because we're going to come back to this at the end and kind of evaluate this just a little bit. What is your happy moment of all time? Maybe your first kiss. Maybe your wedding day, maybe the birth of a child, maybe graduation day, maybe getting that dream car, that dream house. What's your happy moment? Happiness can be defined this way. Happy can be defined as feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Now, who's not up for a little pleasure or a little contentment today? All of us are. This is a thing that is common to all of us humanly. We're all looking for happiness. We're all looking for joy and pleasure. I don't want to offend anyone here today, and if any of these folks I'm going to mention are people I'm just going to say, don't get bent out of shape about what you're about to see, okay? I'm asking a favor. But we're going to look at a couple of different views of how people have talked about happiness, okay? From people that I certainly can respect and don't mean any disrespect by. But there's a certain preacher in Houston, Texas, who talks a lot about happiness. He looks a little like this. His name is Joel Osteen, and quite honestly, I have no major problems with Joel. I don't follow him closely, but I do know this. He's kind of built his entire empire around this idea of building happy thoughts in your mind. He says, to find happiness, quit focusing on what's wrong with you and start focusing on what's right with you. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. That's a pretty healthy thing. But when you give that advice, and that advice is completely absent of what I believe to be the true source of happiness, the creator and lover of your life, the Lord God, then we're really on a slippery slope. And it gets slipperier when his wife stands up in front of everyone recently and says, now realize that when we obey God, we're not doing it for God, we're doing it for ourselves. She says, do good for your own self. Do it because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing that for God, really. You're just doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. Friends, I think that's a very, very slippery slope for us to consider today. On the outside, that can sound all polished and all really good, but it leads us to this understanding or this thought that all of us have some right to be happy, that God has given all of us this innate right to be happy. The problem with that I find is that happiness, our happiness, is often kind of at the circumstances of and under the control of other people. And so we are really running a risk of when it's out of our control and thinking that we have the right to be happy, things won't necessarily work out. So I'm not sure if you have any more right to be happy than you have the right to be 6 foot tall, or the right to have a millionaire father, or the right to have good weather on your wedding day. There's a lot of short people here that might want to be 6 foot. All right? There's a lot of us who might want a millionaire father or father-in-law that's generous, any of them. Right? But I'm not sure that we have the right to any of that, including our own personal happiness. It's a question I have. Now, someone else who I respect and he's wildly popular in the world today is our new Pope, Pope Francis. And quite honestly, I'm not anti-Pope at all. All right? But he came out just a month ago with 10 things that lead us to happiness. And I found this list to be very intriguing. First of all, live and let live. In other words, they have this phrase they say in Rome that says, move forward and let others do the same. Don't get in everybody's way. You just live your life. Secondly, be giving of yourself to others. People need to be open and generous toward others, he said. And if you withdraw into yourself, you run the risk of becoming very egocentric, very self-focused. Third, proceed calmly in life. Now, this comes from a man who taught high school literature for a number of years. I don't know how you proceed calmly in teaching high school literature, but he quoted a story that he loved to teach where one of the main characters looked at his life this way. He said that in his youth, he was like a stream of full of rocks that he carried with him everywhere. As an adult, he was like a rushing river. And then in old age, he was more like a still moving but slowly moving stream, kind of like a pool of water. And the Pope draws from that analogy. He says that in the latter image of that stream, that steady moving pool of water, is the right way, because it gives us the ability to move with kindness and humility and the calmness of life. Number four, he says we need to have a healthy sense of leisure. Now, I'm all good for this. I'd like to rediscover this in my own life. He says the pleasures of art and literature and playing together with children have been lost, and instead, consumerism has brought us to a place of anxiety and stress. And we can all agree with that, right? He says, number five, Sundays should be holidays. Workers should have Sundays off. Agreed? Sunday is for family, the Pope says. Six, find innovative ways to create dignified jobs for young people. This is where he gets just a slight little bit political, in my opinion. But he says, you know, if we're not careful to create jobs that young people like, that will drive them right to drugs and alcohol and suicide. So we need to create a happier world by creating jobs for young people. We need to respect and take care of nature. Environmental degradation, he says, is one of the biggest challenges that we have today. I think a question that we're not asking ourselves is this: isn't humanity really killing itself with its indiscriminate and tyrannical use of nature? It's pretty strong language. Number eight, stop being negative. I like this one a lot. It says, needing to talk badly about others only indicates your own low self-esteem. That means that I feel so low that instead of picking myself up, I have to cut others down. Let's let go of being negative. Number nine, don't proselytize, but respect others' beliefs. The worst thing of all, he says, is religious proselytism, which is basically the idea of trying to convert others to your way of thinking. And he says that no church should grow that way. They should grow by attraction. That if all we do is talk to people in just out of the desire to get to persuade them, that we're missing the point. So somehow that has to do with happiness. I'm not 100% sure. Number 10, and finally, he says we need to work for peace. He says we are living in a time of many wars, and the call for peace must be shouted from the rooftops. Peace sometimes gives the impression of being quiet, but it is never quiet. Peace always is proactive and dynamic. Now, like I said, I'm not anti-Pope. I think many things on this list are incredibly helpful and very interesting. But I think in and of themselves, none of these 10 things will bring us happiness long term. They all may be great ideas, but the fulcrum of this entire conversation today, the balance rests in this idea, this question: what's the origin? What's the source of happiness? We have to answer that question. If it's found in my personal satisfaction, then we're going to be on some self-absorbed path. If we find the source of happiness in pleasing others, then we're going to be on a self-destructive path, because I'm telling you the truth, nobody can please everybody. It's impossible, so we would destroy ourselves doing that. If we think that happiness is found in religion, then I think we might be on the manipulative path. Did the preacher just say that religion is manipulation? Why, yes, he did. Here's the deal, and I mentioned this even in my prayer because it's been on my mind again of late, and I've mentioned this before. I'm not a huge fan of the word religion. I'm not a fan of that organized methodology. Sometimes, far too often, not just Christianity, but all forms of religion have used its platform to manipulate men and women, boys and girls, to think a particular way just for their own gain. We know this to be true. And the reality is, I'm not a fan of religion. I'm a fan of relationship. I don't believe in a religion that just drives us to a sense of duty and obligation all the time, but a relationship that is driven by love and desire. And that's what I want to be about. I desire a transforming relationship with a loving God. That's not manipulation. That's love. Respected author from years and years gone by, C.S. Lewis, He's pictured here with Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia that he wrote. He was asked by some religious leaders, which religion is the one that would deliver the greatest amount of happiness? C.S. Lewis, you might not know, but was an atheist for the majority of his life, for quite a bit of time, and he converted to Christianity. And so what they did is they said, as a very knowledgeable person, this guy is going to be able to answer this question and help us know which religion would deliver happiness the best. And here's his response. While it lasts, the religion of worshiping oneself is the best. He writes, I have an elderly acquaintance of about 80 who has lived a life of unbroken selfishness and self-admiration from the earliest years and is, more or less, I regret to say, one of the happiest men I know. As you perhaps know, I haven't always been a Christian. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of wine could do that. But if you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. I don't think that's the response the person who was asking the question was looking for. That's some pretty challenging stuff. So you might be sitting here right now going, hold on. Religion's manipulative. We're trying to find the key to happiness, and now you're telling me Christianity doesn't even hold the key to it? What am I doing here? That's not necessarily the case, but let's spend some time looking at what the scripture does say about happiness, okay? James, the brother of Jesus, writes this in the fourth chapter of his letter. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This is the perfect picture of unhappiness today. Look at it. It's this idea of desires that are so strong that you're willing to kill for them. And I don't think that's always physically killing, but sometimes we do a pretty good job of shooting arrows through people's hearts and souls with the words that we use. Coveting so deeply that you're willing to fight, ignoring God for your needs and spitting in his face when he doesn't grant them to you, all because your motive is really geared around and wrapped around your definition of pleasure. This is tough language. But I want you to hear this. If you get the idea that God isn't interested in us having pleasure, that's not right either. Proverbs says it clearly. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. Even Jesus said, it's recorded in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wouldn't say those words if he was just trying to fill up a church. He meant those words. He came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. So the issue isn't that God isn't interested in our happiness. The issue is that we aren't interested in finding happiness through him. It comes back again to that question of what's the origin, what's the source of happiness in our life? If we find it in stuff, it fades, it goes away. If we even find it in our marriages, in our relationships, it gets complicated at best. Happiness has a source that must be deeper than all of that. But we, over and over again, we try to find it through ourselves, our wealth, our friends, our jobs, our retirement, our cars, our houses, our cabins, and our garages that are filled with things that we haven't used in years. This is what we look for happiness, but it doesn't satisfy. It's not real bread. It's not real food. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said 2,500 years ago. Isaiah writes this, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who don't have money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, those misguided ideas that would bring satisfaction and happiness that I mentioned earlier? Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Isaiah here is getting us really close to understanding what the key of happiness really is. It's found in the fulfillment that is rooted when we live and dwell with God's provisions in our lives and not out of our own strength, not out of our own stuff. Before Jesus ever uttered the words, Isaiah was confirming that God alone is the bread of life. In Him is the only source of pleasure. I read a quote this week that I really like. It's kind of snappy. It might stick with you a little bit like it stuck with me. It says this, pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Pleasure is the measure of your treasure. Now, your treasure is what you love, and your greatest treasure is what you love the most. Jesus even talked about that in Matthew 6 when he said, for where your treasure is, there your heart or your love will be also. So you will glorify your treasure by the fact that it's the object of your pleasure. You will glorify your treasure by the fact that it is the source, it is the idea of what you believe to be pleasure. And this is why God is very aware of and very concerned about your pleasure. This is why God gives us pleasure so we can understand this more. God is very concerned about this. This might be one of the central issues. It's a big deal to Him because God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. You got to hear this again because this pleasure, measure, treasure stuff gets confusing, right? But God is most glorified in your life when He has found great satisfaction in your life. When you find great satisfaction in Him in your life. Here's what we come down to this moment where we say the key to happiness is this. Satisfaction. And the only way to find satisfaction is in salvation. It's the only way. You can come to church all you want. No matter what church, no matter what religion, no matter what path you choose, listen, here's the deal. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way that we'll find true satisfaction in our hearts. It's the only peace that will ever be available for us. It is the truth. And so what we're after is, if we're looking for satisfaction that will lead to greater happiness and greater joy, it's got to be found through this understanding of salvation. And how do we get there? It's really simple. We just have to call out on the source of happiness. We got to call out on the one who is the one who can deliver happiness to us, the one who can bring joy. And we need to let Him know we've made some mistakes. There's sin in our life. There's sin in my life. I need it taken care of. And you know what He does? You know the pathway to happiness involves forgiveness. And God does not hold back on forgiveness like you and I do. When someone wounds us, we're pretty careful not to forgive them because we want to use that to help them teach them a lesson. If we forgive them too quickly, they won't learn their lesson, right? Am I wrong? Someone hurts you and wounds you, you say, listen, I'm not going to make up real quick. I want you to kind of grumble around a little bit. That makes it better for all of us if we're all miserable a while, right? But God doesn't operate that way because that's a horrible plan. God says, when you ask me for forgiveness, I'm quick to offer it right now, and I'll throw a party on your behalf. It's pretty awesome. Salvation in God is the source of satisfaction. Satisfaction in your life is going to be the greatest source of happiness. So it all boils down to the message of the cross. The message of the cross is about the transformation of us being proud and self-centered and becoming people who are humbled and Christ-centered. Philippians 2, Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of others. When salvation and joy and happiness comes to your house, The change in your life becomes, it's not about me, it's not about my stuff, it's not about my wealth, it's not about my garage, it's not about this stuff, it's about how I can be involved in the kingdom of God, and that's serving and loving others. In the final paragraph of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, he ends it all this way: give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it, but look for Christ and you will find him. And here's the key: and with Christ, he throws everything else in. The joy you're looking for comes when you kind of surrender to your right that you think you deserve it. Happiness comes when you stop believing this idea that you have a right to have it. And when you give up on that, you will find Christ, and then he actually throws it in. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. David Platt, who is a really popular author and speaker today, wrote this in his book called Radical. Radical obedience to Christ is not easy. It's not comfort. It's not health. It's not wealth. It's not prosperity in this world. Radical obedience to Christ risks losing all of those things. But in the end, such risk finds its reward in Christ, and he is more than enough for us. When you thought about your happy thought at the beginning of this message, I kind of want you to bring that back to your mind. That happy moment, that thought that came to your mind, is that something that was rooted? I want us to filter it now through a different filter. Was that something that was rooted in your own desire for pleasures of this world, or was that rooted in the things of God's kingdom? Was that rooted in God's love and serving others and in loving others? Or was that rooted in you having some euphoric feeling because of something you did or something did for you or something else? I want you to think about it. And again, I want to judge your happy thought. But I want you to consider just for a moment the source of happiness that no one can take away. The secret to happiness is found in resting in the presence of God and knowing that he is enough, that his grace is enough, God's love is enough, his hope is enough, his ways are enough. The question that you need to answer today is this: is he enough for you? Is he enough for your life? Here's a difficult question. Can you be happy and poor at the same time? With God, you can be, because the source of your happiness isn't your wealth. Can you find joy in the middle of loss? With the source of God, it can be. Because even in loss, we understand things through an eternal perspective. Is he enough? Is God your greatest treasure? If not, friends, I want to challenge you to consider some changes today. What needs to happen differently in your life is this: you need to start to cultivate your roots in the soil of the Almighty. You need to become rooted in God. Sometimes we do this by going to someone and making things right relationally. Sometimes we need to set a wrong and make it right. Sometimes we need to confess sin. I'm wondering, is there a brokenness in your soul today that is dragging you down? I want you to change where those roots are growing, that broken relationship, that wrong in your life, that sin in your life. I want you to transplant those roots out of the soil of selfishness and right to happiness, and I want you to put those roots in the soil of the Almighty God, who is the giver of love and the giver of joy and the giver of every good thing. And when all of a sudden you do that, there is a peace that comes over you that nothing can take away. In the midst of your loss, there can be a wholeness. In the midst of your broken relationship, there can be healing. If God is the source of our happiness, if his presence brings us satisfaction, then we need to put ourselves there. We need to put ourselves there. I'm going to invite you to stand with us in the band. We're going to sing some songs. And I want you to sing these songs asking yourselves the question, is He enough? Is He really enough for me? And friends, if He's not right now, if you would be honest with yourself long enough to say, you know what, I'm not sure that He is, I want to challenge you to pray a prayer from your soul that says, I want You to be enough. Forgive me where I've made this about me. Forgive me where I've made this all about my selfishness. Lord God, I want this to be all about You. Help me to know that better. Help me to cultivate my roots in Your soil. Lord God, today as we bring this to a real point of conclusion, would You encourage us and inspire us for our lives to find happiness and joy in You? Would You challenge us to make things right with You, and in doing so, experience incredible things of happiness and joy? We love You so much. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.